Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches His people about life in the Kingdom of God.
We've come through the Beatitudes now to number 4. In Matthew 5, 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, and they will be filled. Well, okay, well, what is righteousness? Righteousness basically means to be right with someone. It's a relational term. It means to be right with someone. And if you go through the whole Sermon on the Mount, summarize each thing Jesus says about righteousness, and put it all together in one definition, here's what you get. Righteousness is good deeds, internal and external, done out of obedience to Jesus Christ for the glory of God that enable nearness to God. Now, at this point, you might be thinking, wait a second. This sounds awfully works-oriented. Righteousness is living in a way that brings God glory and favor and makes you right with God because of your behavior, your good works. Whatever happened to not by works? Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for it is by grace that you've been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Not by works. You're not brought into favor with God by generating goodness in yourself. You were brought into favor with God by grace alone, through faith alone. Not by works, so no one can boast. So what are we going to say about that? Well, that's true. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. However, the rest of the gospel is this. When that grace comes to you through faith, it has a transforming effect on your heart. See that? God did not save us because of our good works. He saved us in spite of our bad works, but He also saved us from our bad works. He didn't save us so that we would continue in sin. He saved us to set us free from sin. In fact, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, not by works. The very next verse is verse 10, which says, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He made us for good works. He saved us not because we are righteous, but to make us righteous. He didn't save us to leave us unrighteous. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. And that saving grace teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age. In verse 14, He gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness in order to purify for Himself a people of His very own, eager to do what is good. So He saved us to make us righteous. So according to Paul, we don't get saved by becoming righteous. It's the other way around. We get righteous by becoming saved. The righteousness is given to you as a gift, as part of what you get in the whole gift of salvation, the whole package of salvation. Part of that big gift is righteousness. That's part of what you get by faith. So our righteousness doesn't come from us. It comes from God, which is exactly what Paul says in Romans 3:22. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. So it's righteousness from God. It's alien righteousness. It's not from us. It's got another source. So how are we going to reconcile Jesus and Paul here? Did Jesus teach a system of works? Salvation by works? Well, we already know that the answer to that question is no, because remember the very first Beatitude made that an impossibility? Blessed are the poor in spirit. If you're poor in spirit, you have absolutely nothing to offer God. Then how could anybody possibly be saved who has nothing to offer? There's only one way, grace. Right? So the first Beatitude demands grace, demands a system of salvation by grace. And it's demanded by the second one as well, about repentance. If blessedness in the kingdom comes to those who are mourning and grieving and repenting over their sin, obviously they're sinners. And they're not worthy of grace. They're not worthy of salvation. They're unworthy, and yet they get it anyway. So it's very clear right off the bat that this is a grace system that Jesus is teaching. The first two Beatitudes, Beatitudes numbers 1 and 2, demand a system of grace. And I think number four does, today's Beatitude does as well. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, implies that these blessed people lack what? Righteousness. You're hungry for food? Your stomach's empty. They're longing for something they don't have, and because of that, this righteousness that they don't have, because they're longing for it, it will be given to them. That's the promise of the Beatitude. If they already had it, what would be the point of promising that they'll be filled with it? They already have it. Why do they need to be filled? So clearly, the righteousness that's promised is going to have to come from an outside source. If you don't have it, you're hungry for it, and it will be given to you as a reward. Well, obviously, it's coming from an outside source. It's a foreign, alien righteousness that comes from an outside source, not from our own hearts. It's exactly the same thing that Paul taught. There's no tension between Jesus and Paul. It's exactly the same message.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowd-funded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.